Welcome, everyone, to the 12th episode of Season 2 of the Sagebrush Shit Show. My name is... Today is... What? Tuesday. Excuse me. Tuesday, April 10th. Here with Grant Bess and a special guest today. Spencer Perry is here in the booth. Loyal listener. We got some great topics coming up on the radar today. Spencer, you wanted to go ahead and give yourself a quick little introduction. Tell us what you're doing here today on the show.
Yes. So I'm currently serving as the PR director for USUSA, and that's why Grant has invited me in to give some inflammatory remarks before I'm kicked out of office. So
woot.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I got.
So we've got, what do you have on the docket here today, Grant?
So we're going to talk about city planning, especially the zoning law. Not necessarily the zoning laws aren't necessarily changing, but the infractions.
No. Right. So fees. This is something that's important to me as a part of my platform for my position that I ran on, trying to address some of these problems. So I don't know if anybody read the article. There's an article in the Statesman that came out, I believe, last night. Could have been a little bit earlier. Basically, this proposal from Mayor Holly Daines, Mayor of Logan, essentially increases the punishments for students that are living over the occupancy limit.
So, is it for the students, though, or is it to the landlord?
It's both. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they're increasing the fine for people living there, too. I don't know.
That seems corrupt.
I can fact check that. But even still, even if it's just the landlords, this is an effort to get students essentially out of residential housing to try to pin them on campus.
Into Millennial Towers.
Like
trying to factory.
Basically just trying to ignore students at all costs. And so it's a little bit sad to see this. I mean, students basically prop up Logan City economy on their own. You know, so it's a disappointing move from the city council. There are some pretty, you know, we talked about inflammatory remarks. There were some inflammatory remarks made by the, I want to say, what's his name? The senior Logan City planner. His name is Russ Holly. He said, quote, "We found that if you put too many unrelated individuals in a house, cars tend to be parked in the front lawn, maintenance goes down, and there are a lot of noises."
Oh, gosh.
So I'll give him
AKA
credit.
AKA a college town.
Right.
The lawn parking is a stupid argument.
Right. So
no foundation.
A little bit of a hot take there. So I give him credit for, you know, we appreciate hot takes on the show. So props to him for that. However, I also say that's a bad take.
If that's a hot take, then Trump is the, like, holy master of hot takes.
This is a... There's no substantial evidence to make this... to justify making this change. It's just kind of arbitrary.
And the language we have found. Like, I want to see...
What
the,
have you found?
I want to see the study. When it started. Right. How many cars were parked on lawns. Because that's... Right. When you say we have found, like, you're, like, saying there was a study done, which is crap.
Okay, as someone who lives off campus, I would say that family houses are 100 times louder than any college house. Like, I don't know.
The problem is that the way they are enforcing the zoning is they don't want to grant any exemptions. Which I understand on, like, a principle side of once you let 1,000 go through. But, for example, the piece of property I live on, it was literally a meth house. My landlord tore it down. Right. Well, as soon as he tore it down, he lost his grandfathering. They won't let him build an apartment on that space. It's not huge, but you could probably have, like, a 3 or 4, some smaller apartments. And it's directly adjacent to apartments that he owns. There are apartments behind the house that he owns. So he would just do it as almost as an extension of that same apartment community. Wouldn't let him do it. He had to build a house. Then he had to build a house that only 3 unrelated people could live in, which realistically the footprint's too big for. Of course, he could have just built a 3-bedroom house, but he went ahead and built a 4-bedroom. He can't legally rent that to 4 people. The issue is, he is surrounded on every single side by college apartments or otherwise multi-building grandfathered in houses. AKA no family in their right mind would want to live in that house. And it's on 4th North, arguably the busiest compared to maybe Main Street. But it's one of the busiest streets. It's a major state highway. You've got literally 18-wheelers coming down there, putting on their brakes all the time. I wake up every night to it. So it's like, it's that property especially, those facing 4th North could never sell to a family. But they won't make any exemptions even to those. You know, they could do like a corridor or something. Right. There could be more logic behind this. And they're not willing to do it. And so what happens? Landlords break rules. These zoning laws have been in place for a while. But I'm a big believer that if you have that many people breaking laws and rules in a city...
It's a bad law.
It's a bad law. Like, there's just fundamentally like something that hasn't been discussed. Yeah. Or else... You know what I mean? Like, a minority should be breaking the law. And the same thing we've talked about with UDOT. Like, UDOT found that people were speeding in the canyon. So they conducted a study, and they based their speed limits off of what 85% of people are comfortable driving at. So they raised Sardine Canyon speed limit by 5 miles. Now it's 65 instead of 60. And like, that mentality to me, I know it's harder to apply other places, but that 85% mentality is something that's logical to me. Like, what 85% of a population are willing to do comfortably should be considered maybe something that should be legalized and normalized.
Well, and there are some kind of sketchy justifications in here. I mean, Grant, we talked about this earlier. Councilwoman Jeannie Simmons saying the fines will help motivate people to make improvements on their properties. Quote, "These houses are real eyesores," she said. "We need some sort of fee to encourage people to fix something."
And that,
I don't understand what's the connection there? I don't understand.
Well, first off, you go piss off a landlord by charging them money. They're not going to want to spend more money on property because there's no like incentive that if they improve the property, they can then have four people. Right. Like, there's no financial incentive for them to improve anything. And it'd be one thing if they were looking at zoning or, you know, laws that literally were just exterior improvements, like you can't have cars on a lawn, or you can't have more than 5 vehicles, or RVs, or, you know, I mean, there's other ways to change zoning laws to not allow certain things to happen. You know what I mean? Like, go in and put better curbs. And I don't know. How about that, Logan City? How about you actually improve it? There are areas all around the university that don't have sidewalks. Go down from the hill, right from the basketball stadium. You go down that big, steep hill.
Yeah.
No sidewalks in any direction. Like, you want something to improve your property values, you want something to look nice, how about you actually put some simple improvements down? Or, I don't know, fix the potholes. Like, this idea that it's too many students living places is crap. Like, change your parking laws so that they work, if that's your argument, and enforce the crap out of parking. If it's literally, and you know what? Provo doesn't force all cars to get off the street for four months of the year. And if Provo can handle it with twice as many students, I don't know why Logan is having the hardest time with all of these issues. I think it's crap.
Yeah. So, obviously a very important issue. Majority of students at USU live off campus. I live off campus. I think you guys both said that you live off campus.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. They're having their bi-weekly city council meeting next Tuesday. I'll be in attendance. There's a public comment section, so if there's something you'd like to say about this proposal, I'd encourage you to come. I believe it starts at 7 p.m. I will be there if I can, and we'll see what we can do. But moving on here, got some international news this week. Grant, what's your take on the whole Trump-Syria situation? We talked a little bit about it last week.
Yeah, so interesting. Last week we talked about Trump coming out and making an announcement that we were going to be pulling out very soon, that it's not in the best security interest in the United States. We talked about it a little bit last week. And then less than a week later, we have evidence of chemical warfare, that bombs have been used on civilians. Assad and the Syrian official regime has denied that. There was also some strikes on a Syrian base that they're blaming on the U.S., and we've denied that. It's just kind of a little bit of confusion all in the air. But basically, Trump's came out and said that within the next, probably the next 24 hours from the time of recording here, that a statement's supposed to come out. So we haven't seen anything just yet, but maybe tomorrow morning, who knows?
Yeah.
If he keeps to that timeline, who's to say that will happen?
Well,
but
another good question.
We could be back to putting more ground troops in.
Absolutely.
Maybe more air strikes. So Syria could go the exact opposite way we thought of it last week, I guess.
Yeah, kind of interesting. I mean, we talked about, you know, Trump mentioned that he wanted to pull out of Syria. Again, didn't make any firm commitments. Obviously, now kind of doing a little bit of a 180 in that situation. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and we'll certainly cover his decision if he makes one on next week's podcast. But moving on here, so you guys are both current USUSA officers.
We are.
Grant is serving as the College of Humanities and Social Sciences Academic Senator. Spencer as the Public Relations Director. And marketing director, is that?
Yeah,
that's a full title.
That's true.
Excuse me. So I know you guys want to give kind of a little bit of a recap of goings on this year in USUSA. Do you think things? I mean, just give us the highlights if you had to.
Ooh,
give us the highlights.
Highlights of this year. I think the highlights have got to be.
Start with the positives. Start with the positives.
No, we've had a really good unity, I feel like, this
That's
year.
That's good.
That couldn't be said about all years past. I think for the most part, all of Academic Senate was unified within itself, EC within itself, and across that line, fair unity. Of course, individuals may have personality issues, but I think as a whole, both bodies and the bodies themselves were unified.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to say that they're unified, and then you kind of look at the legislation, though. It's, you know, it feels unified. It felt unified all year, but were we able to pass anything or do anything constructive with that unity? Like, I don't
Not
think.
Not a ton.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So,
it's true.
I think beyond that, there
personally,
was...
personalities were unified. Thoughts were not.
Yeah, there you go. We had some interesting events... new events kind of brought into the fold that I think that's something that's probably like what's going to be longest standing. You look at like the series committee doing passion workshops or the president's cabinet doing Aggie Heroes, two like well attended events, and those will go on for years, I'm sure.
I just wonder though if that's even true. You know, I always wonder with tradition making versus blazing your own paths. You know what I mean? I'm always curious to see. I don't know. It's not the first time something like this has been conceived, yeah. I'm sure.
Okay, well,
OBEV has stuck around for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I can't even say. There's probably been some that have fallen apart. I just thought that myself. So I was able to, when I did my events this year, some of them were almost identical to what's been done in the past. Some of them were done maybe in different ways, but, you know, the simple idea. And then other things, for example, Cup of Joe with Joe. We did it three times. We tried to establish it as maybe a standing tradition. NR does coffee like every day.
Week.
Yeah, so every week they're giving away free coffee. Ours is a little less frequent than that, but who's to say McKenna will do that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what's, it's always interesting. I think there's great ideas. And I think passion workshops and Moonrise and Music will continue, but is it 1 year, 2 years? At some point, I just worry with something like series, there's so many regular things that someone drops one and does something new.
Sam, are you going to do Gripe Night next year?
Well, you know, speaking of Gripe Night, I think it is 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah.
We are having the second annual Gripe Night, and I'll double check the date for next week's show. But
it's that Wednesday, 25th.
Yeah, it's the 25th. I will be moderating, so you know it's going to be a good time.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. So there are. It's definitely how it works, by the way. So last year, Gripe Night went well. It was mostly a lot of the activity came from social media using the hashtag USU Gripe Night.
Right.
Some really funny responses, some really constructive responses. So we're hoping to get a similar turnout in terms of people being active on social media. We would like to have more people come to the actual event. This year we are, instead of doing it in the TSC auditorium, we're doing it in Library 101.
Okay.
So a little bit of a smaller venue. A little bit, you know, more personal, where we can get, I feel people will have them be more comfortable sharing their input. And I think kind of people's biggest issue with the event last year was that there wasn't a lot of response post Gripe Night.
Yeah.
And so that was the kind of really the only complaint that I've heard about the event was that, you know, promises were made that, you know, people were going to hear back from the GRC post Gripe Night about whatever they talked about, or at least, you know, just an email thanking them for coming, directing them to the right department, you know, or whatever. And so that, I think that's the biggest thing that we can improve on. So if, you know, people would like to have, you know, a formal response from me or from the GRC, you know, helping them, directing them to the right department, if that's not me or if that's, you know, something that I can work with USUSA on, and that's something we'll look into. So that's kind of the plan for Gripe Night, and then we're gonna evaluate how successful it is in a couple weeks. But the plan is right now to have it every year. And so,
All right, Spencer, here's my hot take. If you had to cut three events that happened this year from happening next year,
here's some hot takes right here.
Three events.
Cut three.
Cut three.
Cut elections, am I right?
Yeah. I was thinking, cut elections. Honestly, I can think of two events during elections week you could cut pretty easily.
And which ones?
Take the town halls.
You take Greek town hall.
No, exactly. I would keep the town halls, and I'd I keep Greek, I'd keep statesmen, and I'd get rid of presidents, and I'd get rid of RHA.
I like that plan.
Yeah. All right, one more. You got to go one more, preferably outside of elections week. this is the hot take.
This is the hot take right here.
Oh, man. Well, okay. I mean,
say it out loud.
People love their events, right? So if I were to say, like, oh, man, that really didn't work very well, they would take offense to that. I don't know. Shoot.
Just say it.
Okay. Slam Poetry Night. Dang it.
Oh.
Grant's event.
Whoa. Here it is. Hot take.
It's like no one. Okay. Very few people on campus want to go to the uncensored Slam Poetry Night, and like knowing how much we pay poets, especially those poets, to come to campus, I don't think that that's...
So is it more of a fiscal use?
For the number of students, yeah. Like,
how many students came?
Okay, well, you... I wasn't in attendance.
Okay, so...
How many students attended?
Probably in the 100, 200? Range?
You're in the hub?
Okay, probably. No, we weren't.
Okay.
It was in the ballroom.
Oh.
Fully catered. So, that's a hot take, Spencer. I would argue that arts and culture are things that we should
College of Humanities.
Yeah, no, damn straight. I will back up the humanities and arts anytime. Back the CCA
As your constituent, okay. I appreciate that.
But okay, that's the thing, is that POBEV, we bring in 1,000 students and we spend less than you did on that event.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's totally different. You're talking about bringing in a professional who is going to actually give skills versus like open mic night, which is essentially what it is, right?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to contest POBEV, but POBEV's the anomaly in spending. Like, POBEV is the anomaly. We spend very little to bring in a ton of students. I mean, if you want to bring it that way, like, how about paying like former student body presidents to come back to their alma mater and speak to...
Hot take.
Yeah.
You know, Aggie
Hot
Blue.
Take.
I think about Aggie Blue.
I'll agree with you there.
How about paying,
I'll
you
agree
know...
with you there.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people we've paid to come in that maybe aren't worth it. How about a new DJ? DJ Marcus Wing? Warped Tire. Sorry. Sorry.
When does his contract end?
I think it's show to show.
Is it really?
I think he's just...
No, we had a five-year.
He had a five-year contract? So I think there's something to be said about DJs, realistically. He's been here since I started at least 6-7 years ago, so he's probably on at least a second contract. You find one that works, that's willing to play into all the stupid rules the university has, they probably keep him around, you know?
Yeah.
We've had bad experiences with some DJs in the past, I know. There's one last year, I don't know if Marcus couldn't be there or what, but I know we had a different one for one of the events last year, and Spencer butt head with him.
Oh, gotcha.
Spencer Bittner, really bad. Guy wouldn't end the show when he was supposed to, et cetera, et cetera. So there's definitely something to be said there, but I don't know. I mean, I think I'll be straightforward. I think there's a lot of wasteful spending that goes on. For the total of my week, I had $2,200. That's my entire budget for the whole year. You know, I heard Brendan say yesterday they're spending $8,000 on a week, and that's just out of
whoa.
their stuff. Week of Welcome has like over 10,000, 12,000
spent. Week of Welcome has 12,000, yeah.
So I think events
are taken care of.
The amount of decorations, free mugs, free shirts, free hats, free, you know, we dropped like $200,000 on those things. So I don't know.
That $200,000 is like as much as all events has in total.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Events is $200,000.
No. $200,000 is the events. If you combine a Week of Welcome, End of Year Bash, there are other events, yada, yada, yada. Now, of course, I'm not trying to... Let me be clear here. Student Events is one of the most important offices we have in USUSA, and it's what makes Student Life Student Life.
There are four officers then.
Yeah. There's four officers. The majority of the other officers do behind-the-scenes work, and if USUSA Student Events Office didn't exist, we'd have students here to probably ring us on our necks because that's all they see. That's the PoVet side, right?
You're like, I do USUSA, and they're like, oh, you do the events?
I love PoVet. Nope. And I'm like, yeah, me too.
We're come register to vote, am I right?
And that's what I think is interesting, right? That's my second time doing Slam Poet Night. Definitely interesting things. Like, and that's how, I guess what's interesting though, right? Had Torn not been willing to do that, that event would have happened. So going back to like traditions that don't always necessarily happen. I know that's something we talked about with International Picnic this year. It was kind of a failure in the spring. It tends to be in the spring. The fall tends to be really good. Day on the Quad in this fall is amazing. Day on the Quad in the spring are the equivalency.
There's a different feeling on campus in the spring, right? Things aren't as well attended in the spring as they are in the fall.
Absolutely.
I think students just burn out. Students finally focus on their studies.
I think the weather plays a big role.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you just can't even do, like, part of it is you can't do outdoor activities.
Exactly.
Like, that's what makes the fall so fun.
That's why the picnic.
You come to school, it's warm outside, and there's a lot of stuff going on. Oh, yeah. Day on the Quad is one of my favorite.
Let's be honest, freshman energy is just a huge thing.
Absolutely.
And in the fall,
love it.
It's contagious. And in the spring, it's dissipated. Like, it's just everyone's back to like dying.
Logan Winters do that.
All right, so Spencer, Sam, you've still been involved with USUSA.
I have.
Sam is next year's USUSA officer in the room. What would you say is our biggest success and biggest failure as a body, USUSA? What should we have maybe accomplished? Maybe an event, but like anything.
It's really hard because...
What's our bragging right?
I talked a lot about this with my roommates and with people who are also involved in USUSA. And I feel like it's kind of the biggest problem that our student body faces. And we've talked about this on the show. How we appeal to students that are outside of like the 300 people that just do everything. Right. Yeah. There are about 300 students...
I'd say 1,000.
Whatever that magic number is, that's still a lot of like
17,000.
Right. Whatever that magic number is, you know, that go to things like Aggie Heroes, that go to PoBev, you know, that register to vote, you know, that volunteer at activities.
The choir.
Right. So I think it's something that we haven't figured out yet. How we get those people involved, and I know.
I would argue that the Academic Senate reaches a different body in a lot of ways than others. Eric's events in the engineering...
I wouldn't disagree with you.
A lot of the college-based events that are hosted by departments and hosted by colleges bring in a different
demographic.
Yeah, like, I mean, being the person that's supposed to be reaching those people this year, I mean, that was my goal heading into the PR office here with USUSA. I was like, how do I reach beyond the people I see every day? And it's like... Grant talked to me about this when I first met him, and it's like some people just don't want to be reached out to. You know, it's tough.
It's very tough.
And yeah, so
of that 17,000, I'd argue that there's at least 5,000 students who don't want to do something on campus.
Absolutely,
they fundamentally either A, are so invested in their studies that anything outside
that's a smaller percentage.
That's why it's either. It's either that or they just think it's uncool.
Right.
Like they've convinced themselves that anything the university hosts, whether
it's
that's
just not,
from USUSA, athletics, whatever it is, they're not going to be a part of it.
And then the group beyond that, beyond the people that don't want and then the people that are USUSA, it's like you had the people that are loners, the people that have one person and getting them to an event by themselves. You can't do it. You need to find a way to connect those people then bring them in.
And I think what's interesting is these aren't new problems, right? These have been around for 50 years plus. Yeah. Like, I think there's organizations such as GREEK, such as RHA, that try to bridge that. That's like the goal. Like RHA, fundamentally, that they are trying to bridge. All these freshmen come in. It's like, you know, no one slips through the cracks,
right?
That all they can maybe change those students, those loners, into active participating students.
Exactly.
I think the RHA. I'm gonna be here's my hot take. It just fails. Yeah. When I lived on campus the first year, did I go to a handful of events?
I never.
Because they offered a ton of free food.
Yeah.
And then I'd go get food and then, like, go back to my apartment. Like,
same.
Never was I like, oh, I really want to get on RHASA or whatever they call their organization. Like,
honestly,
like, I don't want to be a part of it.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's something that I'm personally definitely guilty of. Like, I lived on campus for 2 years. And like you said, they would have events all the time. Right? And either outside of my building or in the basement or wherever. And I was like, well, if there's going to be free pizza, I'll go and grab some pizza and come back upstairs.
Right.
But I'm not going to go, like, hang out with these people that I don't want to hang out with.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And so I think...
It's like ward events, man. It's like, just because I live by this person, I should socialize with them? Right. No thanks.
Right.
Yeah. No thanks.
So it's, it's something that I know I'm going to be dealing a lot with this year in terms of trying to win the Campus Cup. Hashtag 3-peat. And trying to connect, it's even harder. Not only is it hard to get students to like come to events, it's hard to like get them to care about issues.
Yeah.
That's like the next step. And so I think we have to just take it, you know, take it one step at a time and try our best to understand where people are coming from and why they don't want to come. Instead of just expecting, like, instead of us just thinking, staying in our bubble and just thinking that, like, wow, this is really great. This is going to be a ton of fun. All of my friends are going to be there.
Yeah.
So I don't really care that much if everybody else doesn't come. Especially if you're not the officer that's hosting the event, right? If you're the officer that's hosting the event, you want everybody to come.
Right.
But other than that, it's just, so I think it'll be a lot, especially officers outside of events. Outside of events directors and events VP, and especially in the academic senate, to cooperate and to do our best to get students just in the door. Because once we get them in the door and they understand that it's not what they think it is, then I think we can make some progress. But again, it's impossible to say because, like Grant said, we've been dealing with this for such a long time. And, you know,
well, I think
I hope
this,
it gets better. We'll see.
I think there's this interesting dilemma, too, right? And this is something that's came up a lot in the last month, but especially even just yesterday. So yesterday, if you guys didn't know, the current USUSA officers, both Executive Council and Academic Senate, as well as the events directors and our two appointed positions, including Spencer here, were all invited to come into a joint meeting, discuss the budget for next year, and then make a proposal or a recommendation for the new officers. And then they will meet here, Sam and others, in about an hour, 7 o'clock tonight, and they will finally vote on that and decide.
Yeah.
Realistically, there's a couple issues here. You don't freaking know. All right. So one of the issues is, new officers come in and vote on a budget that a lot of them have no concept of what that means. And it's also my issue we talked about today with signing a contract. Anything can change year to year, and the new officers just come in and sign it. And it's just like there's so much control in the advisor's side of just how things
go.
That's a frustration. But that's not what I was going to talk about. What's frustrating is money, right? On one side, you have wasteful spending. Right, we talked about free swag. It could be shirts. It could be there's a ton of shirts in the Senate office from different officers throughout this year that have spent it. It could be buying them for
game
a week.
Day shirts.
Game day shirts. Well, that's different. They're supposed to go for sale. This year failed a little bit, but at least those ones
a
are.
Bit, yeah.
At least those ones are for sale, though. Right?
That's
like
true.
At least they're intended
that's
to
true.
Be self-sufficient.
Yeah. I mean,
they're
some
intended
officers.
Though.
I mean, Heather in Ag, and then Rebecca. With natural resources, they're both selling shirts. I mean, they did. I mean,
right. And I don't really mean to say that anything is wasteful, right? But like, we had Week of Welcome shirts and Howl shirts, right. And Howl shirts used for a single night, and arguably it keeps order by having, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's justifications for everything else that wouldn't have been spent in the first place. And you go down that road and you can bring in food for an event that didn't need food and all sorts of things, right? We find a budget with $14,000 and we just try to spend it, or whatever that is. We can find a lot of money and do that. On the other side, we've talked about this, all right? Our events office could function on $50,000. We would just have a third of the events or a fourth of the events. There's other colleges that have crappy ones.
Why do we have Mardi Gras?
Why do we have Mardi Gras?
It loses money every year. Why do we have it?
Is it just
tradition?
No, I would say people like it. That's one that I hear a lot of positive. I would say everything under what event? What's Megan's title?
Activities.
I would say everything under that are the things student remember. Mardi Gras, Howl, and End of Year Bash.
Yeah.
Consistently. I can tell you who's played in the End of Year Bash for the last few, like, while I've been here. Okay. So I feel like
Mardi Gras. It's the last, like, 20 years.
I'm less.
Grant just flipped me off.
I'm less inclined to go to Mardi Gras. I think the timing of Mardi Gras always sucks. Like, year. It's like that. Well, the time where things slows down and it's like harder for me to justify.
Yeah, I mean, it's in February because that's when
Mardi Gras is.
I mean, there's an actual holiday. What is there to look forward to between January and spring break? Like, Mardi Gras is pretty much it. Like, I can't.
True.
In the fall, we have football season.
Dude, we have elections. Elections.
Oh, gosh.
It's everyone's favorite event. Here's all I'm saying, though, is that there's more arguments to be made, right? Is that we have a very large events office, a centralized events office, right? We could have that money split amongst other officers, right? There could be larger service events. There could be larger game day type events that Jake could throw. There could be larger club events. There could be larger. Chelsea brought it up yesterday.
UVU has a lot more money to their clubs.
Yeah, like $35,000, $40,000. My girlfriend's down at BYU. Same thing. There's a lot more money around for clubs. So guess what? The clubs have great events. To be honest, on our campus, the clubs just don't have a lot of... Some of them. I mean, there's exceptions. But like,
I mean, USU Dems is just an...
it's a
phenomenally
club.
Run organization that has incredible events almost every week.
But I mean, there's something to be said that, like, there's an insane amount of clubs registered that you have never even heard of.
Yeah, out of the 70 that, yeah.
And so there's something to be said, too, of, like, any other officer could do better or more with more money.
Right.
So do you follow that path? Do you try to raise student fees and give all the senators $10,000 and every other EC an additional? Like, you could give everyone $10,000 and we'd have way better events on this campus, but at what cost?
Wait. We'd have way better events in general, or we'd...
More. I mean, you just have more quality events.
You'd have more better quality events. But you'd have, like, the giant ones. Like, that's the thing.
No, I'm not saying... Let me be clear. I'm not talking about taking money away. I'm not taking money away from students.
Oh, you're just saying give them...
Give everyone who doesn't have at least $10,000, give them $10,000.
Right. Yeah, everyone could do better with more money. Yeah. So I think there's just this...
I mean,
that's
I wouldn't
the
mind catch 22.
That's the catch 22.
Money makes good events.
More money makes more or better events. Right. However, asterisk depends on what the officer, right? Like, or you just wasteful spend and buy a crap ton of stuff, or you spend way too much on a catering receipt than you should, or way too much on high quality shirts for an event that nobody goes to.
And so this is
or whatever it is.
So your biggest problem. So I guess kind of to bring it back a little bit to what we're originally talking about, your biggest problem with USUSA this year was wasteful spending within individual officers.
I know. I wouldn't even say that. I wouldn't say that's my biggest issue by any means. I just think...
You think it is an issue, though?
Yeah, I think wasteful spending is something to be looked at. It's really interesting. So yesterday we were talking about this budget. We argued about it for a while, and then it just kind of came to my mind that I just realized, I'm like, no one's losing money here. We're literally arguing about...
Who's getting more.
We're hoping
more.
Next year we have more money than we previously have, and we're just, who gets that? Yeah. But here's the thing. You say, who gets it? No one proposed any area that wasn't getting money should get that money instead. No one was proposing that any budgets go down. It was like, we were arguing if people should get more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that money wasn't, there was no suggestions for where
I'll
else
say
that money should go.
That's been the trend this entire year with our group, is that we'll argue over the minutiae of something, but not make any
progress.
Yeah, any progress at all. Absolutely.
Very little legislation, I'll be frank, has gone through this year. What Spencer was alluding to earlier, there was a large bill that a lot of time was spent on, seeking to maybe unify some of the legislative processes between Academic Senate and EC.
That's good to put it.
And that applies to other things as well, such as charters and things. That failed. It went through the Academic Senate. It did not go through the Executive Council. I think some form of that will pass in the next year, even if it's watered down or changed or some. What I notice is that a lot of the Executive Council members were fine with at least half the points. Simple things like charter changes.
Yeah.
So something will pass next year. We'll see what happens. There's a whole article on The Statesman from it, from Alison Berg. You can check that out as well. I do think there needs to be said, USUSA as a whole, here's my hot take, fails
as a
legislative body. As an event-throwing institution, yeah, we do fine. We do fine. I was talking to my girlfriend. She goes to BYU. BYUSA is a strictly service-oriented organization.
Yeah.
They have no legislative authority. Now, while you could easily complain about that, my response to her was just, at least you know that. Like, at least there's no illusion of the ability to change anything.
Yeah.
You guys go in,
there's
focus
on
events, on
USUSA,
involvement, and how you can improve students' lives by spending money and, like, setting up situations, right? The illusion that we have can make a difference without complete seated authority being given to us.
Yeah.
Like, things change in USUSA when we come up with the idea and it gets approved by, like, umpteen amount of, like, administrators, right? Yeah, sometimes it comes down the chain. They change a lot of things themselves. But the reality is that we had this full discussion yesterday.
Yeah.
The sad part about, and this isn't just on a student government side, things only change to the will of the people in chaos. Like, you need the Huntsman controversy to immediately, boom, things are going up, councils are changing, transparency is happening, all this, because you had pissed off people really fast in national attention.
Yeah, same with the Title IX.
Title IX allegations, right?
Like, supposed to happen.
You just need a ton of, like, you need pitchforks and torches. Like, and that's what's hard, is it's hard to, like, actually unionize people and convince them that there's an issue if they can't see it at the very forefront of their life.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You need Oklahoma to, like, the whole school system to fall apart and they get a decrease for them to even, like, the teachers didn't, like, lose half their budget.
Yeah.
Like, they have been living under that for a long time, and it was like, it took chaos.
Yeah.
It's taking chaos to get any change. And it's like, that's the sad reality, right? We talked about the smoke-in. Talked about that. Like, clear back in the 70s, smoking wasn't allowed on campus. I wish it still wasn't. We've had this discussion many times on our podcast. But 1,200 students came into the Taggart Student Center and lit up cigarettes and smoked.
Oh.
And
nice.
What do you do about that as an administrator? you can't kick out 1,200 students. They had a smoke-in. And guess what? The freaking policy changed almost immediately with some, like, student working. And,
but you're right. There's nothing that students care about enough.
You need
to do something about it.
And that's what's sad is...
We can increase student fees, you know, by 10%, and there still would be
very wild rage about it. You would have to probably propose a 25% fee increase. You're talking
$300,
$400.
Yeah.
And you probably still...
People would just be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, like, you'd have a section of students that were just riled up.
Yeah.
Super angry.
Statesman would be all over it.
Oh, Statesman would be publishing like crazy. You'd have some of the state
updates.
Institutions. But in the end, you wouldn't have that many students, you know?
There's nothing on the forefront that's going to get 10,000 plus students.
Right. You'd have to close
even
a department.
Parking, you can't even get people, that many people upset
people
about the number one complaint.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to state it. That's the number one complaint on this campus, and you still don't have people.
Arguably, for
like,
a good
unified.
Reason, because our parking is so much better than so
parking's
many
never
going
to change this
campus.
Exactly. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Newsflash,
agreed.
It's only going to get worse. Agreed. I promise that for the next 10 years. But. But reality, like, I've mentioned this to you guys both, you know, in 1965, the president of Sigma Nu Fraternity wrote Glenn Taggart, the president of the university, and said, because parking is such an issue on 800 North, we propose, and that's where SIGEP's old house got their parking lot. That's in 1965. Parking was
an
issue.
That's how old that house is, y'all.
Yeah.
Oh. Hashtag don't want to move back.
But, like, that's the point, right? Like,
tear it down.
Is that this has been such an issue, and like you said, we're better than the University of Utah, we're better than every other major institution in any other large city. Like, yeah, Dixie does better than us. A handful of smaller institutions have better parking than we do. It's not going to get better. But here's what I think comes down to. San Jose, right? This has been a big discussion in academics last week. A functional student association needs to be a student association.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have a student union building, not a student center that's half ran by administration. And we've got all of our student affairs administration offices here. Business services have taken over the Juniper Lounge, which used to be a venue that was used for a lot of other events.
It's all offices, yeah.
You've got a third floor that's completely, including ours, but completely covered in offices. And it's advising, and it's this and this and this. And the second floor, yeah, there's some good spaces in there, but you also have just all this financial. And in the basement, you have all this SOAR and...
Admissions and registrar's and office.
Just things that don't need to be here. Registrar's, cashier, is it nice to have in this building? Sure. But you could have it really anywhere on main campus, and it would probably be just as convenient, right? And, of course, this is a bigger issue, and you need a new space to put those places before you can even suggest anything.
Yeah.
But the student union building is no longer controlled by the students. And that's the whole point of it. It was paid for by student dollars. It's supposed to be replaced for by student dollars. And single-handedly, the student association should have a lot more control. There is one student association member that has a key to the building.
Yeah.
And that's the president.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that should be true. Well, why is that true? Because it's all those other things. Because all these administration offices and all these others have large amount of assets that they can't risk students having access to it. But if this building were simpler, even if it were half the size, you could give students access
to their own building. I agree. I think it should be a lot more accessible to students.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it should be open later. I think there should be... I don't know. It's hard to say.
I supported an amendment that brought down the hours down this year because in the summer especially, and even other times.
In the summer.
I mean, on a Friday night, do you think there's students here past
10:30? But to your point.
It's supposed to stay up until midnight.
Right.
It's supposed to stay up until midnight on Fridays and Saturdays until we approved that change like a month ago. Huh. It wasn't happening. To be frank. But students are here. I really want to head up to the TSC midnight.
To your point, I think we should give them a reason to come here.
Right? Oh, totally. We should have a bowling alley. We should have the movie theater. We should have all these things that this building used to function as, and then people would want to be here on a Friday night. Even if it's just lounging. Holy crap, would it be rad if people used this building after hours and had a reason to use this building
I went to, over the summer, my sister did a college tour at NC State. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful campus. And their student center was just, their student union building, whatever, was just insane. They had row upon row of TVs with Xboxes and PlayStations.
Where's that? NC State.
NC State in Raleigh, North Carolina. And there's just there's 20 TVs, students that were just, they were just using them on a Saturday.
Right.
At 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And, so I think...
The library gets used. Arguably, there's not that much more functionality in the library other than computers.
Yeah.
Right.
But that culture has been sold to students.
Yeah.
And I think it's possible. Maybe another student... I mean, and maybe that's it. Maybe another computer lab could be helpful. You know, maybe it's better food on the weekends or something, if there was other things than the hub,
Yeah, other than just dining service...
If you could come up here and get Chick-fil-A or whatever, if there was more TVs accessible, I just think that you could even
need more than two ping pong tables and foosball on the third floor.
Right. You don't even have paddles for. Right.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Don't worry, Spencer, next year I'm bringing my own paddles.
There you go.
I've got a few.
You
don't you worry.
So
anybody wants to play ping pong, come to 340. We'll get
started. And I guess what it comes down to is in San Jose State, their student association is a 501c3. What that means is they don't have an executive council. They have an executive board that makes corporate decisions and rents the building with student fee money.
Which is insane when you see how immaculate that place is. It's
amazing.
Yeah.
It's the private market regulating itself.
Please.
Sam knows it's true, and he hates hearing me say it.
Don't turn this into that, please. I don't want to.
We have no ability to change anything.
I'd say, getting back to the original thing and got us talking about USUSA, our biggest success, I think, has been Michael Scott Peters. And I think that people will disagree with me, but, I don't know anyone who's been as cozy with administration, but, has still pushed the things that people tell them are important to them. He's seen the most people. Yeah, I don't know.
What has he changed? Changed, not implemented, changed.
Yeah, but that's the thing. People don't come to him with, we need to change this. Like, he's the most open out of all officers. He's seen the most people. And people, like you were saying, it's just people are complacent.
But does he know 2,500 people? He knows the peppy people at this university. He knows a lot of students. Yes, he's done, again, he's furthered the mental health initiatives that were started before him. I'm not challenging. I don't think Michael Scott Peters has done a worse job than anyone in his office and has arguably done better than at least the last few late years. Yes, it's awesome that Mike Scott Peters got elected after not necessarily having a lot of position before him and Jaron following him in the same fashion. We've got a president of the United States with no political experience. Yeah. I mean, it's this idea of like washing up is always popular. However, you still have him backing administration for athletic fees and every other thing. He still speaks. My problem with Michael, I love him to death. He's such a good guy. I obviously campaigned for Rachel last year, and I would say with firm commitment that me and Michael have been good friends this year and have kept good terms. I think you need a student body president, and more importantly, let me not even say, I don't want to say his position. You need a student association that stands with the students behind them looking up.
Yeah, not
and
looking
stops
down.
Having administrators behind them looking down.
Retweet.
I understand retweet. What you're saying, but again, it just comes back to like there's a disconnect. We think that people are upset. I've read every single My Voice that's come in, like in the last 6 months.
My Voice
people
isn't
are
effective.
Not okay. People aren't coming to us with
hashtag
problems.
Sam fix My Voice.
Like,
tell me how to fix My Voice. Sorry, go ahead, Spencer.
I don't see people coming to. People on campus are complacent with how things are, and that is reflected in the leadership. Like,
it's, complacency is definitely a part of it, but it's the same reason people don't file My Voices for things that we otherwise hear complaints about, are the same reasons that people ask me, "What the hell do you do with USUSA? Do you guys do anything?" Because people don't trust the body. People don't see us as being able to affect change. And so why would you complain to a body that you think has no authority to do a damn thing, right? Like, if you were gonna reach out to the Alumni Association right. because you thought that they could improve something versus if you don't think that they have any ability to do anything, right? Do you reach out to the Institute to change things with the church?
No,
because you don't think they have any authority to do a damn thing about it. And I don't think people trust our organization. I don't. I really don't. You have to, like, okay, we're basically told, we're trained to answer My Voices with, like, being really nice. But, like, I open something up and it's like, oh, well, complaint about my advisor. And I'm like, well, this isn't what this is used for. That's what half of the complaints are, right? Because whatever. I mean, it's an online symbol. Yeah. That's what people are online to do. People complain about parking. What do I tell them? Nothing's going to get fixed. Like, people complain about dining. I just forward it on. Like, I don't have an ability to change half the things they do. I'm just told to forward it on to the person who has actual ability to change a damn thing.
Dining is a good place to look. Grant, you've personally looked at why the dining is the way it is here. And it's like, they're just like these things that you've talked about. Like, you need someone here that's been here for 5 years to make those changes. It's like less about the people and more about the structure. Like, you have people come in 1 year, they barely get caught up to speed in one year.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. I think that's what I was saying earlier with the contract mentality, is officers have no ability to change things because they're here for a year. However, if you had any authority to even try, frankly, honestly, as a part of one of the legislative bodies here, we talk about doing something that's like never gonna happen, never gonna happen, never gonna happen. If it doesn't get approved by James Morales or Noel Cockett, it's not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many things that get shut down early just because the idea dies in the belief that our body doesn't function.
Blake is getting course fees like audited. I think that's a pretty
oh totally. Big you know how the student association currently works. Anything that's positively changed this year has been an old boys system. It's been a
good point.
Talking to the right people, asking for a favor, doing all the research yourself, and then like trying to get the right amount of people behind you before you approach somebody else.
And that is how it works everywhere.
Sure, but why should it? Why shouldn't a student a student who votes for somebody expect things to actually happen? Otherwise, why don't we have the most popular people on campus as our student officers all the time? Why would you not? The valedictorians, the people who do the most research on this campus, are the ones that know all the professors. Let's get them in office. Let's get the herd president to be the president of the United States, or the president of the USA. Bridget Brown over here. You know what I'm saying? Like, get the popular people. Get the people who are just the front of everything to be buddy-buddy with the right people. And sure, that's what happened on the federal... But we call that corruption on the federal side and on the state side. We call that corruption when things happen in the back room. We call that business as usual for USUSA.
Interesting.
I shouldn't have to have private meetings to get anything changed. And there's a difference between I'm having a private meeting so that I can understand the process to then pass legislation with, which is what it should be, and I'm having this meeting because that person in the end is going to make this decision, and I'm going to go back and create shadow legislation that hopefully has met all the needs this administrator's told me they'll sign off on, and then I look like I did something.
Yeah.
You just create ghost legislation that...
Yeah.
It's like what
someone else signs off on.
What we have the power to do is create programs that are like longstanding. I think that that's like our biggest thing. We have the money to support these programs, and like I've seen like succeed and fail. Joe Day like ran 2 years, the science senator from 15 through 17 until Travis was elected. He ran on this science mentorship program that I helped him on, and we took it all the way up, and it's like even in 2 years, he couldn't get this program that like everyone voted for him for. It's like, you know, I think that there's
just... But had it happened, who would it have happened through?
Through the College of Science.
College of Science, totally. Everything that I've positively improved this year has been because I have a great relationship with my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a bad thing. This is a private organization. On the academic side, there's academic freedoms. It's harder to change things on the academic side, frankly. Yeah. Professors have a different mentality. It's not about what's fair. It's academic freedom, right? Like, yeah. It becomes a whole different issue on the academic side. But on the student services side, I don't know, Spence, why did we lose money on herd t-shirts this year?
I don't know. I like the shirts, so it's hard.
Bad design.
You're a designer. How did we lose money on it?
Well, to be fair, Jake designed them.
Okay, so Jake designed them.
But I think that...
How much does Jake make on each shirt?
50 cents.
How much does Heidi Adams make on every shirt?
We think 50 cents.
So, I mean, the idea that we can't do a damn thing to change that, that this is a student service, this is something... There's two sides of this. There's strictly two sides of the university, right? You have academics and everything else.
Yeah.
And there is no reason on the everything else side that things shouldn't work for students. Period.
Yeah.
This is not a business to keep 500 people employed, and we're just going to do whatever we need to keep the most people employed at any point. If we needed to cut a department or cut an organization because it wasn't working for students, my firm belief is that that department should get cut. Yes, obviously we can't cut travel. You can't cut PR and office just completely out. Like, there's functions to these different offices, but when the herd doesn't own their own logo, even though it represents them, when we have to ask special permission to get those things done, why? Why do I have to go to my quote unquote advisor for every single purchase I make to have a budget? Because he's my permissor. He gives me permission to do everything.
Also, our funds are technically state funds.
But they're not. They shouldn't be.
Okay.
They shouldn't
be. That's the thing. Granted, they are, but should they or shouldn't be? That's what you can argue. They are state funds. We have to go through that system because of that.
But we shouldn't, like, that's my whole point, is that a 501c3, those same exact fees are collected the exact same way, and they go into a private corporation that students actually have a say over and actually change. And then they hire advisors who advise those students how to use their money. But in the end, an elected officer has the right to use a budget granted them.
I mean, okay, look at it though. It's like the buy-in and then the separation, right? It's different because at the university, we're the customers, but we only pay for 30% of what, like, their services we receive, right? Because a lot of them are, like, at state.
I don't look at it as we're customers. I look at it as a bunch of individual people who are choosing to come here, and we have clients. We're maybe a client. It's a client relationship. If you look at us as a customer, you're...
immediately posing the other side as a business whose only purpose is to make money, which is what students complain about.
No.
If they're a client, then they're providing a service to students, which everything on that other side should be. 100%. We can be, okay, obviously student and doesn't ever fit into the mold, because on the academic side, those are teachers who are being paid for their services and us who are paying them, right? So in a way, it's a mutual relationship, right? Everyone gets what they want on the academic side. If you're willing to pay more for a good business professor, you get it, right? On the other side of things, there's no reason that this should be this mentality of, it shouldn't be the customer's always right, because we aren't the customer. It should be the person who's paying for this crap, our client,
that's what I'm
wants
saying.
What they
we,
want.
We don't and that pay should be the mentality. For all of it, right? We pay for a small part of it.
We pay for everything in our budget. That activities fee pays for
100% yes, okay, so that's
of everything
the thing.
In this
office. I guess, okay, I kind of want to wrap this up and say, I wish that we were our own 501c. Like, yeah, like that's a good thing to say.
So let's do it.
All right, Sam. You're our hope, the person with power next year.
On that note, I think we've
exceeded our limit.
Exhausted our limit.
Thank you for listening. If you don't care about USGSU, what did I say?
I don't know what you just said there.
We're running up on about an hour here of record time.
Before we end, Sam, I want to hear the vision. What is Sam going to do? Spencer and I argued for a little while. Sam.
That is
what
an excellent.
What are you gonna do about it? We're just leaving offices, taking name tags.
Right. I think I'm gonna get a kind of good little taste tonight.
What can the people hold you to?
Of what happens in USUSA. It's something. In terms of my vision for USUSA, I think that we have. I'm very satisfied with the people that we have on executive council this year. I supported every one of them in their campaigns except for one. So I think that's pretty good in terms of my expectations.
That one's pretty important, though.
That one's pretty important. However, I'm looking forward to working with that person, and I'm entering with high hopes. And I think it'll be an interesting dynamic this year because we have so many. We have three returning academic senators, yeah. As well as Megan Tatum, who was a director last year, now student events vice president. So we have a pretty experienced group coming in, I feel like. And
I would say EC, though, every position is so individualized. That,
that's true.
I don't know.
On the academic Senate side.
Even that, like, legislative-wise on the Senate side, yes, things will change, or hopefully will be better. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like every officer has such individualized responsibilities that unless everyone returns...
Well, okay.
Experience is a weird concept.
Sam does have experience...
In GRC.
Yeah, well, okay. Right. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good distinction. Bridget isn't even really the president of GRC, but...
It was an interesting dynamic this year.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, like, it's experienced. It's also inexperienced. Like I love Braxton, but he hasn't been in the office at all this last year. It's like...
Right.
It, you know, and Sam, I know, like, that's hard. I think that he'll do a great job, but, like...
Oh, no, I agree
what
with you.
What counts as experience, you know?
I'm not here for PC takes.
Well, I think if you say, I love USU, that counts as experience, right?
Damn.
And on that note...
Got him. To kind of wrap up, I think... Jesus. I'm entering with high hopes. I think you guys talked about this a lot, that there was a lot of unity in terms of... just everybody being friends with each other. But in terms of, like, any legislative progress, there was almost none.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that I agree with you, Grant. That's a sign of failure on behalf of the body. And I think, especially in my position as student advocate, in a position that historically is one that produces legislation, historically is one that that's a lot of time that this position has invested itself in.
I mean, yeah, advocate, right?
Exactly. Experience working with government officials, working with USU lobbyists, meeting with Neil Abercrombie this week to discuss needs of the university. And I think, I feel like I have a pretty unique position. And like you talked about, having that relationship with advisors, kind of the crappy situation that we're in, you know, whether we can change that or not is, I think, a little bit farther down the road than my one-year term. But I'm looking forward to the opportunity, and I'm entering with high hopes. So
we'll see what happens.
All right. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Sagebrush Show. You can find me at ZGrantBest. You can find Spencer at
SpencerPerry1.
Nice. The one.
At Sam and Jackson. We're still looking
for
another host for next year. The podcast will continue. The show must go on. Again, if you're interested, if you lean a little bit to the right, that would be preferred.
We've got hot takes.
But if you have hot takes, you're welcome.
If you listen to Sam and you're like, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, you're our guy.
I would love to have you on here.
Man or
I would
woman.
Love to have you on here.
You are the individual we seek, regardless of what
you claim. We'll be conducting interviews for...
I think it should just be the chat senator. It should just bring McKenna in. There you go.
You can find the application.
She's right. I've been advocating for this, actually.
You can find the application for Sagebrush podcast host at ususa.usu.edu/apply.
that link doesn't
work
anymore.
Gotten tired of seeing that all week. But on a more serious note, apply for GRC. Apps are due Friday. It's going to be sick. But with that, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for listening today, and have an excellent week.